In your book, you've broke the generations into three groups, the veteran, the boomers, and the Generation X groups. What are the main characteristics then of each group?
I mean, the first thing is to say is there are different ways of breaking down generations, but we tried to use a structure that was fairly simple and fairly easy to understand rather than expanding each one. You can do quite considerably. The veterans are the generation that grew up with their earliest memories being of the Depression and of the Second World War. And perhaps that was their experience in young adulthood. So they are a generation that was used to working together to fight some of the greatest challenges that faced certainly the West in the early 20th century. They grew up with an experience of following leaders, seeing strong leaders who were able to unite nations and to lead them. And so they trust leadership. They believe in their leadership. They believe in working together and putting their own needs and own aspirations in a second place for the common good. They are committed to saving society, to fixing the world, the outer world that we live in, and giving us a world that is safe, that is secure, that is peaceful, that is prosperous. They are disciplined. They get up early to pray and to read their Bible before they have breakfast, and they're willing to sacrifice their needs to the common good. One of the things they want to be best described as a regular guy. There's someone who is normal, who fits in, who doesn't rock the boat, who pulls their weight, who does as they're told, but likewise is willing to lead and make difficult decisions and expects others to follow them. They're hardworking, they're loyal, they're thorough. That's the veteran generation. Then we get the baby boomers. Now, the baby boom started straight after the Second World War and lasted through till the mid-60s. Sort of 1945 to the early mid-60s. In the West, there was this huge baby boom as people came back from war, as the West got more prosperous, people were able to have more children. And demographically, it's proven that there was this boom in birth rate over that period. And so they grew up as a cared for generation whose parents had fought hard to create a world that they could live in security. They grew up as a generation who enjoyed prosperity, but also began to challenge some of the conformity that they saw exhibited in their parents. When you're busy fighting the level of poverty that was exhibited in the Depression, you don't have the freedom to express yourself in the way that perhaps you would like. And the baby boomers looked at this and said, this conformity, this focus on saving the world has led to neglect of the inner life. And baby boomers were very concerned about individual freedom, partly as because of the world they were given, gave them the chance to do that, but partly as a reaction against the world that they were growing up in. And so the 60s epitomizes the baby boomers' freedom, exploration. They are the stars of the show. They are the children that were wanted. They're optimistic. There's a lot of possibilities in the mind of a baby boomer. But it's also they have their tensions with their parents, as all generations do. So they are challenging that conformity and the alternative lifestyle, which really began in the 60s, the sense of the counterculture that began in the 50s, even with the Beat Generation, is something that that characterizes the baby boomers. They're positive, they're optimistic, they're concerned about the inner life. And we see actually a lot of that in Christianity, in a lot of Western Christianity, whether it's a concern for inner healing, the kind of therapeutic Christianity that that we see this sense that God can restore all past hurts, we can be whole, we can be restored. That isn't something that the veterans were concerned about, but it was very much part of baby boomer spirituality. The inner life can be restored, the world can be fixed. It is possible to do these things. A very optimistic, a great sense of their own ability. Then you get their children, the Generation X's, who, like all generations, look at what their parents are doing and say, well, yeah, but it doesn't quite hang together, does it? As I've said earlier, this is a generation that didn't grow up with a sense of possibility. This is the generation that experienced divorce on a scale as children, as never before, whose parents were busy finding themselves and expressing their own freedom and therefore leaving home and ignoring their kids. Parents were working, developing their careers, so they were latchkey kids. Adults were too busy to have children, so abortion became very, very common. A generation that was aborted like none before. A generation that grew up where work was not easy to get, and when you got it, it wasn't very interesting. A cynical generation, a realistic generation, who challenged the perhaps some of the fantasies that have gone before, that actually life isn't all about fixing everything, that this world isn't actually something that can be completely fixed by us. And I think that's a very important Christian principle as well, not just a Gen X outlook, that we believe that we're called by God to, as far as we can, to restore the image in creation, but we also don't believe it'll happen in our lifetimes. I can remember being very struck by comments by a director of a very large relief and development agency who said that they had got involved in the late 60s in Christian development work because they believed that world poverty could be eradicated in their lifetime. And to me, that's just a laughable notion. It's worse than ever. We don't have that sense of optimism. We have a greater sense of realism that sometimes does fall into cynicism. So you have three very different groups. One that's very conformist, focused on saving the world, fixing the world. Then you have a group that's very free thinking and very internally focused. And then you have another group that's still internally focused, but isn't as free thinking, is more cynical, more doubting, even despairing of the possibilities for the future.
What are the conflicts then that are created by these three generations within sending agencies?
I think leadership is a big one. The leadership styles of different generations is a huge area. You have the veterans that expect conformity, that expect obedience, that expect to be the leaders and to tell us what to do. You get the boomers who question that and are looking to discover their own ministry, which is a concept that I think has very much reflects the boomer worldview. What's my ministry? Not where is my leadership telling me to go, but what is the ministry that I'm called to? And I will follow that calling wherever it takes. And then you get Gen Xers that don't want to be told what to do on the one hand, but are also sceptical about the kind of management speak they hear from baby boomers as well. And don't want to be controlled, don't want to be told what to do, are not motivated by flowery language or by vague concepts that are inspirational, that are actually quite detail-oriented and realistic, but also want to be left alone to get on with it. I remember someone saying to me that the problem with Generation Xers is that they don't want pastoral care and they don't want leadership. They want to be left alone. But when they hit a crisis, they want the pastoral care available immediately on tap. And I said, yes, that's exactly the point. We don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to be micromanaged day by day. But when we hit a crisis, we want that available. We want that support and encouragement available. Leave us alone to get on with it. Be available when we need you. Don't try and direct us in advance. Don't try and micromanage the detail in advance. And I don't think there's anything unreasonable about that.
So do sending agencies need to adapt for the Gen X culture? And can they?
Well, that's two questions. yes, there's firstly the question, do they need to adapt? Yes, I believe they do. Every organization, as I've already said, has its own culture, has its own norms and ways of thinking. And the normal thing in most organizations is that there is a dominant way of working. There is an organizational culture. And in some organizations, it reflects the outlook of the veterans. And in some organizations, it reflects the outlook of the boomers. It sometimes depends on the age of an organization. It sometimes depends on the age of the leader and how long the leader of that organization has been there. So inevitably, as organizations reflect cultures and reflect certain generational cultures, when you get a new generation coming in, there needs to be change. Now, the big question, of course, is what kind of change? Do you just change everything to keep the baby boomers happy? If you do, you alienate the veterans and you alienate the Gen Xers. Do you try and change everything for the Gen Xers? If you do, you'll probably lose everyone that's gone before them, and it probably won't be the kind of organisation that's suitable for those that come afterwards. And one of the things that I'm very concerned about is that as organisations internationalised, some of them have tried very hard to be less Western, because most of them are Western originally. They've tried to accommodate Africans and Asians and Latin Americans and their styles of working. Of course, if you talk to Africans, Asians and Latin Americans, they may quite reasonably doubt how successful they've been. But organizations have at least tried to do it. They've tried to become culturally diverse, multicultural organizations. And I think that we need to do exactly the same with different generations, that each generation needs to be allowed to live and to work according to its own preferences and own needs. And all individuals, all the people in the organizations need to be help to see that there are these different generations, that these conflicts they have with their co-workers who won't do as they're told, or who are bossing them around and won't listen to the ideas that these creative young people have got or they think they've got. People need to be aware that these are different cultural outlooks. It's not just personality conflicts. There are cultures at work here. And if we are aware of those cultures, we grow in understanding. we are able to adapt and limit ourselves for the sake of others, which is a reasonably Christian principle.